Hi, I'm your host, Dominique, and you are listening to the blog Music Art Culture. You can follow us on social media to stay connected on Twitter at MACEF Public Arts. That's at MACEF Public Arts, hashtag join the conversation. Today, we have new stories from Britain, Canada, and the Philippines, and the U.S. We're going to keep it simple and informative with finance, environmental politics, and talk about the U.S. Civil War statues in Charlottesville, Virginia, that sparked a riot back in the summer of 2017, leaving one woman dead, causing a national reckoning over the nation's Confederate statues. Whew. It continues to be a hot topic, believe it or not, filled with controversy, and I'll tell you why. Keep listening and tell your friends to join the conversation as well. The Blog Music Art Culture podcast show is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. Search the Blog Music Art Culture. Make sure you subscribe to the show. You can also find us on anchor.fm/musicartculture. Stay tuned. I'll be right back. All right, we've got news on the British penny, a story published from the New York Times. The NYTimes.com is where we found this news source, and I'll tell you what. Fun facts. I love stories like this because it reminds us of some of the things we forget to talk about or maybe don't know that could affect us in the near future. What exactly is it? Well, the British penny, and I'm going to tell you now. It's all about if it's going to stay in circulation or not. Little background, the British penny was introduced in 1971, and the British penny is now under attack. It happened when the Treasury argued that production of the low-denomination coins no longer made financial sense. The proposal was scrapped due to concerns from charities. Now, if you don't know, the Blog Music Art Culture is affiliated with the Music Art Culture Education Foundation. So it makes pretty good sense that a lot of charities would be concerned because it would strip a form of revenue from them. I mean, think about it. Anything that discourages a person from giving to an organization, a charitable organization, is a reason to share concern because it takes away their right, their opportunity to give. What if a penny is all that they have? Well, they definitely shared their concerns and they were heard on a larger scale. But did you know that 60% of penny and two pence coins are used only once? And in 8% of cases, pennies are simply thrown away. It's actually kind of sad when you think about it because we do have a lot of people that disregard the penny for various reasons. But I'll tell you what. If you know some of those people who go through their car, they're cleaning out their couch, they're cleaning their home, they're cleaning out their desk, and they find these random pennies, maybe one or two here and there, and they kind of, you know, shuffle it out with the rest of the trash that they don't need, discourage that immediately. Why? Because pennies add up to real dollars. And if you're aware, well, it is real money, so definitely you don't want to be throwing that away. As the saying goes, see a penny, pick it up all day long, you'll have good luck. Who remembers where that's from? Yeah. Okay, just in case you don't, I do, and it's actually a quote that I use from a movie. I'm a movie buff, and it's a really super old movie with John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John called Grease. So, yeah. One of the characters actually sees a penny, picks it up, and I don't want to ruin the movie for you because it's kind of interesting, but I don't know. Maybe I'll say it anyway. So when she picks up the penny, she distracts someone else, and at the end, it just so happens that the distraction allows John Travolta's character to win in the race, the car race, and everybody's happy. So, minus the guy who got a headache for losing. Anyway, see a penny, pick it up, take it to the bank, cool thing is they actually have machines nowadays at various banks and some grocery stores that are coin collectors, and they give you a receipt and you can cash it in for real dollars or have it added to your bank account. So don't get discouraged if you see a lot of pennies, at least in the US, what, 50 pennies is 50 cents. And if you have 100 pennies, you have a dollar. Make sure that you don't cut off a revenue stream that you could be adding to your savings account. So, back to the British penny, the whole conversation occurred as Britain is increasingly moving away from cash and becoming more reliant on credit and debit cards and digital payments. Card transactions accounted for more than half of retail purchases for the first time in 2016, according to the British Retail Consortium. So basically, the US Treasury predicts that cash would be used for only 21% of payments by 2026. That's really big news, especially since it's happening in Britain, because whatever tends to trend in Britain, or at least becomes a topic of concern or interest, it usually trickles over into the US and Canada, as well as other Western civilizations, and over in Europe. So it's really something that we all need to be aware of, especially if you're doing a lot of traveling and you're at the airport and you want to exchange dollars, cash. You need to know what the values are and how you'll be able to move around the city and do business. So you always want to stay on top of those things. Keep that in mind. The penny is safe for now in Britain. We don't know about the US. Similar conversations have happened as well. But for now, both are still safe, and cash them in while you can, because who knows how that will affect their value once the tables turn. All right. And a great segue we have next is the Canadian dollar. It's getting more interesting by the moment, I tell you this. Let's talk about the Canadian dollar for a second. Global News in Canada has some interesting reports about what's going on. It's really interesting, actually, because I think culturally it's actually pretty cool. The new coin from the Royal Canadian Mint is paying tribute to the 50-year anniversary of the The new coin pays tribute to the decriminalization of homosexuality across the country. Yeah, I said that right. So, basically, in Canada, if you're not familiar, as well as other parts in the world, homosexuals, transgender, whatever the category is, they're grouping it under homosexuality in Canada. And long story short, I think it's pretty cool that Canada has decided to be more inclusive and take a different approach than some of the cultural counterparts that may not agree with homosexuality for whatever reason, whether it's a personal preference or it is a religious preference. Definitely the nation of Canada has decided to take a stand and acknowledge who these individuals are, that they are very prevalent, very present, and very important to Canadian culture and society, and they want to acknowledge their contributions and their presence. And they did it on the coin. So I think that that was a very brave and bold statement. Kudos to Canada. Yeah, it's very interesting, very cool, very forward moving. And it'll be interesting to see if the U.S. follows suit. But either way, I thought it was a really good story to share. So if you ever go to Canada, that might be a really cool collector's piece, the new coin from the Royal Canadian Mint. It actually looks pretty cool. You can head over to globalnews.ca. And you know what? I'll post up the link on our Twitter page at MACEF Public Arts so you can check it out for yourself, read up on the story. But there you go. Canadian news on the Canadian dollar. It's not over yet, though. We still got more to talk about when it comes to Canada and how they have affected the Philippines when it comes to environmental news. Stay tuned. Keep listening. The Blog Music Art Culture. I am your host, Dominique, and I want you to stay tuned. We've got more to talk about. Keep listening. Yes, now for environmental news. This story was really interesting for the listeners who are listening. If you are not big on environmental news, well, this isn't your save the whales type of story. However, they are really important. What I want you to get in with this story is that, we're treading on international matters, and it's actually pretty serious. President Rodrigo Duterte treated this as a very serious matter, and it resulted in him threatening to declare war. That's a real quote, to quote unquote declare war on Canada if it didn't take back its trash, and set this week as a deadline for an end to the impasse. Why is this such a scandal and what's going on? Well, Canada is part of the UN Basel Convention, which is meant to reduce transfers of hazardous waste to developing nations without their consent. The international dispute has been brewing since 2013 and 2014, when a Canadian company shipped about 103 containers wrongfully labeled as plastics for recycling to a port near the capital of Manila. The Canadian offer came around the same time as the Philippines ordered its Bureau of Customs to get the containers back on a ship bound for Canada no later than May 15th. McKenna said she would not speculate on where the garbage will go when it returns to Canada, nor would she disclose the cost of bringing the trash home. Who is McKenna? She is representing Canadian borders on this matter. And why is it so important? Well, they're noting that she had something to say, because initially Canada had been lagging on making any action regarding picking up the garbage, pretty much. What happened was, if you caught what we just said a moment ago, back in 2013, 2014, when all this was brewing, basically they shipped 103 containers of garbage. I'll go ahead and post the photo on our social media page as well, so you can take a look. It's literally large bins. If you've ever been to maybe the docks or the shorelines in Long Beach, where you see the large containers, it's filled with garbage, filled with plastic recyclables, filled with trash. And no one knows how this mysteriously happened and why the Philippines were the ones who received it. But after a lack of accountability, the president of the Philippines decided, hey, if you're not going to pick up your trash, we'll gladly send it back to you. And then that's when Canada stepped in and say, oh, you know what? That's a great idea. We will pick up our trash, and we'll take care of the bill. The president is serious in the Philippines about keeping his shores clean. But also, I guess it's kind of rational that a person would be upset. It's kind of like the idea that happens when, you know, your neighbor throws trash on your lawn and mysteriously disappears after it happens, or even forgets that it even belonged to them. Somebody's got to do it. In this case, I think, you know, maybe a small item isn't worth a dispute or a debate, but when it comes to several large containers of garbage, 103 to be exact, I think there is something to be taken seriously here, and definitely both parties are acknowledging that. According to Canada, they're picking up the trash, but they're not saying where it's going when they bring it home. I'm sure the Canadians are staying on top of that. Imagine what that bill is going to be. I don't want to. It sounds really expensive. keep listening to the blog Music Art Culture. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about environmental matters when it comes to international territories? Is this something that involves a mediary, or should you just let the parties figure it out? Because when you think about it, it's kind of serious when you have an issue like this where it could be considered something very small. Oh, the containers, they wrongfully made it to the wrong port. And then several years goes by, and now you have the other nation willing to declare war. And it was so much so not considered a fabricated threat that Canada took it seriously, and rightfully so. So I don't know. It's very interesting when it comes to matters of our fellow human counterparts, whether we're in the same nation or across shores. It can get very intense. In this case, it was over some garbage, but you know what? They're cleaning up the trash. Whew. We're going to move over into our next story. The saga continues with Robert Lee and Stonewall Jackson. We talked about that at the top of the show. That was the issue with the Civil War statues in Charlottesville, Virginia. And we're going to expand on that a little more to bring you all up to speed. Hope you're enjoying the Blog Music Art Culture podcast show. Keep listening. I'm your host, Dominique. We've got more to come. All right, so we are back. We are back as the saga continues, the longest war, the war that never ends, as some would put it, although it is more so of a situation where people are talking ethics and if we should be honoring the losing side. This conversation is very, very appealing, to both ends of the spectrum, and I'll tell you why in a moment. Why the saga continues with Robert Lee and Stonewall Jackson. Well, if you're not familiar, basically in the Civil War, they were leaders. They were some of the most highly revered, even though they won the favor of those in their states, in the Confederate states, they lost the war. And in spite of losing the war, both monuments were erected to honor those individuals in the 1920s, and this was during the South's Jim Crow era. Now, if you're not familiar with Jim Crow, in the U.S., that's a term that we use to speak of the segregation laws that were coming about. They were used to discriminate against non-white Americans, mainly African Americans, and other non-Anglo ethnic groups to basically keep them from voting, keep them from becoming independent powers, groups, bodies. This included limiting them as far as occupations, owning land, having rights. And these two statues were put up to basically embody a belief that some Southerners or some Southern states still had when it came to limiting the civil rights and or freedoms that all citizens should have in the United States under the United States Constitution, based on a series of beliefs. And this is kind of tied into white supremacy. So, to bring you up to speed, as we talked about at the top of the hour, again, at the beginning of the show, where there was a lot that happened in 2017 during the summer, a woman lost her life, and the nation was forced to kind of reevaluate the importance, the value that these statues have on the local population and how they affect the overall culture and society of the United States, if it embodies the same type of logic and fundamental rights that we all should have as stated under the United States Constitution, which is, you know, right to bear arms, freedom of speech. If you've read the Constitution, then basically it says, hey, you can do whatever you want to do. You're an American as long as you abide within the laws. And it caused concern because it started off as a gathering. It turned into a riot. Someone lost their life. And, you know, you had people of the modern day freedom. Hey, we are all Americans. We deserve our civil liberties. And you had a opposing group that said, hey, we acknowledge that you are American, and we acknowledge that these leaders are, meaning the ones on the statues, Robert Lee and Stonewall Jackson, were very important in making sure that, you know, we as Americans, based on the group that they represent, have superior freedoms and rights and authorities. Just a little background, you can take it as you wish, but really the big issue is this. The law in question, enacted in 1904, stipulates that local governments can authorize the building of war memorials, but the power to remove, damage, or deface said memorials lies with the state. According to Paul Dugan of the Washington Post, the law originally applied to Virginia counties, but was expanded in 1997 to also include cities. Now, the whole issue for some, not for all, but the city, the people, argue that the Lee and Jackson statues are not, in fact, war memorials, but instead symbols of white supremacy. Hence why all of the tragic happenings of the summer of 2017, where some of these rallies were popping up and there were a lot of people getting hurt because they were in opposition of what these statues represent and the groups that embody them. But the good news is more than 100 of which, meaning these statues, have been removed or taken down. So people are responding to the concerns of others, especially meaning others who live in these states and these territories where these monuments are up and large and visible and intimidating to some who maybe come from a generation or two or three who were deeply affected, and not just on an emotional scale, but also on an economic scale as well, regarding what that type of statue represents and the environment that basically it creates or created. So things to be aware of. But what I really want to know now is, how do you feel about it? Right, wrong, or indifferent? Should the statues of the losing side be taken down? Keep listening to the Blog Music Art Culture podcast show. It's really an interesting question. How do you feel about it? Right, wrong, or indifferent? Should the statues of the losing side be taken down? Now, these leaders, they were very important. Definitely, they have their place in history, but should they have statues? After all, by the time they were actually put in place in the 1920s, the Civil War had long been over, and it is true, they were the losing side. So shouldn't we be honoring those who won the war and have played a part in how we represent our country as a whole and how it affects us today when it comes to all of the rights and freedoms that we have under the United States of America? Very interesting. Some do not agree, as the statues are still up, but I'll tell you what, it continues to become a topic of interest because it is going to court. That is right. The court has yet to rule on whether the city councilors have statutory immunity. If it is determined that they do not, they could find themselves liable for damages and legal fees should a judgment be made in favor of the plaintiffs. The plaintiffs in this case are the ones who are not for the statues. Yes, and Judge Moore notes that he also needs to decide which issues should be decided by a jury trial. Yes, people, this is going to trial. He said that he hopes to rule on these matters this month. According to Dugan of the Post, lawyers expect that the case will ultimately be appealed to the Virginia Supreme Court. Now, as we know, the Supreme Court is the highest court in the nation, and so definitely whatever decisions are made on that level do have an effect on the United States as a whole. So when it goes back to the initial question, how do you feel? How do you think the people feel? And how do you think it will play out in court? It is yet to be decided, but this is definitely something that will not go overlooked. There is a quote regarding the matter. Well, we won't share the quote, but I will tell you this. In America, we do have the right to oppose one another. However, for the greater good of the nation, issues do make it to the Supreme Court. And in this case, I think definitely this will be something that the nation will be talking about for a really long time. And I definitely would put a coin down or two on the table to bet this makes it in the history books after the court decides. So stay tuned on that one. Yes, we got that information from the Smithsonian.com. Correct. Are you familiar with the Smithsonian? Well, they do have museums. I think they have one on the East Coast, actually, but they do a lot of good work as well. A lot of great stories, a lot of great happenings coming from that direction of the Smithsonian. Stay connected, stay in tune, and I'll be right back. Keep listening to the podcast, the blog Music Art Culture. We've got a few more announcements. I hope you're listening. I hope you're enjoying. Make sure that you subscribe to the show, and you can follow us on Twitter at MACEF Public Arts. All right, people, thank you for hanging in there. So we've got one more story for the road. The birthplace of country music's first hit is being threatened by modern construction. NPR News is reporting this story, and it is very interesting. How should we start it off? Well, I guess it's going down, or at least that's the way that Jimmy Buffett wants it. What am I getting at? Well, a lot of people consider Nashville the home of country music, and I did too until I read this story. Apparently, it all started in Atlanta before it moved to Nashville, and it started with jazz, gospel, blues, and country music, originally being recorded in Atlanta, Georgia. I had no idea about this story, but I think it's a really cool one to share. So it was all done in Atlanta at 152 Nassau Street. The recording studio has been there since the early 1920s. Now, there's an architect involved, Kyle Kessler, who is part of the Historic Atlanta Preservation Group, trying to stop the planned demolition of this building to make room for a Jimmy Buffett Margaritaville high-rise and hotel with a restaurant. Isn't that crazy? Now, what's really interesting is, if you're not familiar with Jimmy Buffett, he's also a musician. I believe his song is, "If You Like Pina Coladas." Yeah, everybody loves pina coladas. He also has a Margaritaville, I think, in Vegas as well. But what's really interesting is, Jimmy Buffett, the whole Margaritaville thing. It's become its own, you know, form of capitalism. And in this case, well, you have a musician who wants to deface a historic music monument. Well, the story gets a little deeper, but before we go there, it's really cool just to note that artists included Alabama blues singer Lucille Bogan, a gospel quartet from Morehouse College, and Atlanta Jazz Orchestra, Warner's Seven Eights, as well as Fiddlin' Joe Carson. So city planners did push for the landmark status. City planners pushed for landmark status, but unfortunately the demolition permit was issued. So an online petition has started to circulate in order to get Jimmy Buffett involved to stop this project. Now, an attorney from Margaritaville stated he was not aware of the historic significance of this location or if the permit is tied to a development deal for Margaritaville. This story is continuing to change and evolve. Hopefully they're able to get this location preserved. There are plenty of places in Atlanta to build. It looks like a common brick and mortar building from the outside. It's very beautiful. It has a classic feel to it, and it would be great, I'm sure, for the developers to really get it for a great deal. You know, it's kind of like in a residential area somewhat. But get a great deal on some cheap land and then overcharge the people to be at the hotel and the restaurant for Margaritaville. Hopefully they can overturn it. I don't know. There's a lot of places to build, but I think we should definitely preserve historic locations whenever we can. And this is one of those cases. So good luck to those in Atlanta trying to get that landmark status. They did push for it again, but unfortunately, it didn't make it, and the company was issued a demolition permit. However, there's still time to stop the project, and hopefully, the right voices are heard so that the project will stop at 152 Nassau Street, and it can be preserved. Until next time, I've had a great time chatting with you all about some of our current events across the globe and in the U.S. locally. I hope you've enjoyed the show as well. Be sure to subscribe to the blog Music Art Culture. You can also listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts by searching the blog Music Art Culture. Make sure you put spaces in between the words. The blog Music Art Culture. Search the blog Music Art Culture and subscribe. You can also listen to us on Anchor at anchor.fm/musicartculture. Love you all. Till next time, like, share, tweet, follow at Twitter at Music Art Culture. Yes, you can be found on Twitter at MACEF Public Arts. Later. Volunteering a few hours out of any month is a great way to take a break from work. Get involved in your local community by becoming an active participant in your neighborhood or neighboring cities. Who knows, you might start a new trend at the office. Caring is a thought that turns into an action. Connect with people by getting involved in the world around you. Make a difference. Be the difference.